All right, and welcome to the last episode. Would you believe it? Sorry that we're a little bit late going out for this week. A little bit of a nightmare in the office, shall we say. Anyway, let's crack on with the final episode. So, got some more extra work this week up in Pinewood Studios.
Do you know any of the actors involved?
I don't. But I shall find out. Yeah. I shall do my best to...
Do some networking. Get in there with a few Oscar winners.
Exactly. I mean, I've already got one Oscar winner under my belt. Hello, Tim. I didn't tell
him about
Tim Robbins, if you're listening. I didn't tell him about the podcast. I mean, I had all day to tell him.
What were you talking about, if not the podcast, honestly?
I know, yeah. I should have said, Tim, just listen to my podcast.
You'd love it.
I should have got him to record, like, welcome to the...
Oh my gosh, that would have been amazing. That would have been so good. Okay, whatever this next film is, find some talent, get them to record an intro.
I will. Okay.
Get them to promote it on their Instagram.
Yeah, if I'm doing a creative reaction with them, then I certainly will. But now though, all we have is this intro, isn't it?
Which arguably is as good as any Oscar winners.
Hey, I'm Foz.
And I'm Becca.
And this is a podcast where two friends gather on the sofa to talk about things that people don't really talk about that much. Welcome to
Under the Rug.
Right, it is episode 12. And the final episode of this season, the first season or series, what are we going to settle on?
Well, you got quite cross when we started calling it season to begin with, because as you rightly pointed out, season is a very American word.
It's easier to pluralize, though, seasons rather than series. Is it series is or is it just series?
I think it's like fish and that it's the same word, so series. Okay. Well, what are you more comfortable with? What would you prefer?
Interchangeable. Okay. Just like switchbacks and hairpins. We are talking about weird. Now, I think we probably were coming to this from different positions, because I was thinking of like weird habit, like as in disgusting habits. Mm. Whereas I think you were just talking about odd habits, not necessarily disgusting ones.
Yes. Yeah, there's definitely overlap, isn't there? But yeah, but I think some of those quirky ones are kind of interesting as well. Especially if they're ones that have sort of crept up over time and you didn't necessarily notice it.
Okay, well, lots to dive into. But I guess before we start, as it's the last episode, I guess we should sort of, I don't know, do a end of season roundup. How do you feel the season's gone? There you go. How do you feel the series has gone so far? The 12 episodes, 12 weeks.
12 weeks with a 1 week break. Yeah, it's been good. It's been slightly tougher than I think I was expecting it to be emotionally, that is, because some of the weeks we've talked about some quite hard things that are under the rug, turns out, for a good reason. And so it sort of takes a day or two to kind of recover.
Can I stop you there? You said for a good reason. What do you mean by that? Is that like you feel like they should be kept to yourself, or
no,
are you pleased that then the good reason that they've been brought up to the surface?
I'm not saying they should be under the rug. I'm saying that people keep them there because it's hard to talk about them. And that's the good reason. And it's something that we talk about frequently, isn't it? The idea that we sort of came up with the idea for this podcast, talking about difficult things without really clocking that, hey, it's going to be difficult to talk about difficult things.
Yeah, without clocking that we were going to have to come across as quite hypocritical sometimes.
Well, there is that as well.
But that's all right. Everyone's a hypocrite, so it doesn't really matter, does it?
Well,
we're not alone in that one.
A lovely lesson to take away from our creative project. What are your reflections?
What did you learn from everyone's a hypocrite? And that we obviously, these conversations are definitely hard to have.
Have you found that? Or
Yeah, I think so. But like in a way, yes and no. Because as real as they are, there is still an element of a stage beneath us, which I think it would be silly to not be aware of. I think we're both aware that there is a stage. We're not literally on a stage.
There's an element of artifice or performance.
Performance, definitely. Artifice, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure artifice was the right word.
No, there's some manufacturing. I guess if we're going to give like a behind the scenes look, we have a little idea of like what we're going to talk about before. And we try and structure it into something which is digestible within an hour. So there does have to be some, what's the word?
What you're trying to say, I think, is that this is a creative project and it's not a recorded therapy session.
Yeah, yeah. Although at times it has been, which
yes,
is quite
that's
cool.
True.
And may not be that cool. It depends on how you take it. But yeah, no, it's been enjoyable.
Hmm.
I think yeah, for me, I've achieved what I've wanted to achieve, which is to go forth in a creative project or creative endeavor with a friend. So, you know, which is, yeah, that comes with its own challenges because it's like different ideas, different opinions, and then creating something and putting it out and sharing it with the world, not just like, oh, well, I did that thing and then don't show anybody like I do with the majority of my photos. Yeah. So that's been quite nice. And I think it's given me, yeah, like I think we had this discussion, didn't we? Like for me, I wasn't really going for a sense of pride or feeling a sense of pride. I wasn't going to feel, you know, I wasn't aiming for the gold medal of like, oh, I've got a sense of pride in myself. It was more to just do it, I think. And that has been good. And I think it's given me confidence to go out and share more creative work with everybody else and give me a little bit more confidence in my own creative abilities, I guess, if that makes sense.
That's like, good.
So I think I feel like I've achieved what I've wanted to achieve. Not win any awards or anything, just to do something that I'm happy enough with and which I feel is a good thing. It's very listenable. So I hope that if you're listening to this, you feel exactly the same. And if you are still listening, then I would imagine that if you're listening to this, then I'd imagine that you would, because otherwise, why would you have listened to just this one? Seems a bit odd.
No, but that's really good. That's really good. And as you say, some of this conversation came up because I think I asked how you felt about a certain episode that I think because I'd been quite emotionally raw in it, I was struggling to have any kind of objective opinion on the structure of it or the flow of it or anything like that, because all I could hear was my own experience. So anyway, I think I was asking you your opinion about it and you said it was listenable, which to me was like, oh, all right. Well, great, listenable. That's something I'm going to put on my wall.
Yeah, you see, I think whereas for me, listenable is like that's great, that's an achievement for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Listenable is like 100% of what I wanted to achieve.
Good. Well, I'm glad. So that's the other thing that maybe we need to think about is managing our own expectations.
Yes.
Like if listenable is the goal, then we're hitting that, and that's quite good.
Do you feel like you've got what you've wanted to achieve out of it, though?
Yeah, because I think like you, part of it was just, I just want to do something to have done something, just do something without worrying about whether it's good or worrying about whether it's going, where it's going or what it will bring you, you know, doing something in service of the thing rather than the thing being in service of you.
Absolutely.
So from that perspective, absolutely.
I think that's probably the bit that I would pick up on most is that not worrying about if it's good. Obviously, worried about if it's good, but not in like that needs to be the outcome. If it's not good, then that's still okay.
Yeah.
Like obviously we haven't got like thousands and thousands of listeners. We have a very small estimated audience, shall we say, who listen to podcasts regular. So thank you if you are one of those. It's been good to have you along with us. We've been advertising this email address for the past 12 episodes. Not one person has emailed in.
Aww.
And no one has left a voice message yet, which is just so disappointing. But yeah, I am excited about sort of pushing it in this 12-week break, seeing what people have listened to and see if people have interacted with it and said, yeah, this has been cool. Like obviously we've had personal feedback from people, but yeah, it'd be nice to hear from the wider audience, especially if we don't know you or you don't know us before. So that's quite cool.
We've already got the next six after this sort
of
plotted out. And, you know, yeah, we'll obviously have to think about some more. But no, it's exciting. And I think the break will be helpful for sort of sitting back and having a look at it and maybe playing around with it a bit. But it's also good to do something with some regularity and some, you know, a nice cadence to it. So sort of to your point, it's lovely just having done this, but it's also nice to think about, oh, there's some more potential in here and yeah, doing some more with it. It's quite exciting.
We were talking, weren't we, in the run-up to this about lockdown habits. Have you had any weird?
It's hard to think about. I've not come up with any great ones for myself.
Are you going to try and sneak out of this one?
No, no, not at all. It's just more that I think sometimes because they are, especially if you live by yourself, sometimes it's hard to have the self-awareness of, oh, this is an odd habit.
So what you're saying is you have no awareness of your odd habits, Becca?
No, not none, but just limited, I'd say. The main one that I've thought about, which isn't that interesting, I think, is that in lockdown, I have gotten into the habit of doing my washing up from the night before first thing in the morning. But it's now got to the point where that is the absolute first thing I do when I wake up. So I don't even, you know, go to the bathroom, like drink a glass of water, anything. I go straight to the kitchen and do the washing up, which is probably maybe slightly unhealthy. Not unhealthy, but...
Thing is, when does a habit become unhealthy?
I think when you can't break it or if it's obsessive, you know, and it tips over into OCD territory.
This is what Google has to say about it. The concern occurs when the habit is driven not by the benefit of the reward. So in your case, the benefit of doing the washing up in the morning, it's reflective, it's cleaning your slate before you start your day, but rather by negative and seemingly unconscious emotional or biological cues, biting your nails when you stress, say, or compulsively Facebook stalking your ex after a bad date. If those emotional biological, you know, if there is no washing up to do, what do you do?
There's always washing up to do.
Yeah, but what if there isn't? You're going to start losing it.
I don't know. I probably would try and find something else to clean. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
I think it could be becoming a bit of a concern, Becca. I'm no doctor, as you pointed out last week, but I think maybe.
The other thing that I've caught myself doing is when I'm in a shop and I'm looking at stuff, because I've got a mask on, no one can see what my face is doing. And quite often I am walking around with my mouth open without necessarily realizing it, especially if I'm trying to choose something. I like have my mouth open whilst I'm thinking, which I never did before. And I think is a little bit odd. And I would, if I saw someone else walking around a shop with their mouth open, I think I would have some questions. So it's one of those things that if we stop wearing masks in shops, I'm going to have to train myself out of doing.
Apart from the mouth open, the gormless stuff.
gormless, did you say?
Yes. have you got any more lockdown habits?
Things like showering less. Yep.
Yeah.
Washing
You've
my hair
less. You've mentioned
that a few times. I have. Yeah. I'm very proud of myself for it.
Your hair looks washed today.
It is washed today. Yeah. Thank you for noticing. Yeah, I have an inability to wear anything other than leggings now. Mm-hmm. But I think that a lot of people share that.
Do you know what? That's so weird, isn't it? Because a friend who shall not be mentioned said that she's got a wedding coming up later this year, and she's panicking about it. She does it almost to the point that she doesn't really want to go because she doesn't know what to wear.
Yeah.
And you think, well, like, okay, we'll just wear a dress or whatever. But she's like, I don't know how to present myself in public anymore.
Yeah. I fully share that fear. I've no idea. I don't even know what I like anymore. Like, I was trying to buy a new dress for...
You like what you like, surely.
Well, no, that's the thing. Like, you're not out and about. You're not...
What you're saying is that you only like what other people like.
No, but that it takes... My style changed, like evolved, should we say, year on year. And it's just been stuck in a rut for the last year because all I've worn is leggings and jumpers.
Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah, you just can't wear leggings and jumpers to weddings, traditionally anyway.
Yeah, traditionally. Could you wear them to work?
I was thinking about that today. So today I went to meet a friend who I haven't seen all through lockdown. And I was thinking can I turn up to that wearing leggings? And in the end I had to because I was running late and I couldn't find anything else and I was panicking. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think I could wear leggings to work.
At the moment I've got some, just to describe what I'm wearing, I've got some loungewear. It's called American loungewear apparently.
Oh really?
They're like pajama bottoms.
I thought they were pajama bottoms.
However, on the label, it says that they're loungewear. So I feel like I could probably walk outside with these and get away with it.
I mean, you could at the moment. You can wear literally anything outside. I saw two women walking around in dressing gowns the other day.
No, come on.
Yeah, fully. They were crossing the road from the road that I live on. There's then the main road and then the park, and they were crossing that main road.
As in the main road, you're talking about one of the main arterial roads in London.
Yes,
in
Seven the Sisters Road. A405, I believe. No, it's not. That's the North Circular.
And they were, that's the A406. And they were.
I knew you would outgeek me with roads. Come on now, Becca, up the game. So I haven't left Finsbury Park for the last year. I've forgotten how to dress. I've forgotten the names of major roads. It's all disintegrating.
Seven Sisters Road will do, isn't it?
Yeah, but I wasn't going to say it. I was trying to preserve some anonymity.
All right, see. But these women were walking along Seven Sisters Road, a main, very busy road in London.
Yeah.
With dressing gowns.
Wearing dressing gowns and slippers. Yeah.
Wow. And slippers, but they'll get dirty. You can't wear them inside.
Right? Right? I'm with you there.
That's probably the oddest of habits, I'd say.
Do you think?
Maybe it isn't a habit for them, but.
Maybe it is a habit. I don't know. What about you?
It could be very freeing.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Do you know what? I don't really think I have them, apart from showering now. I only shower if I'm going to work. As in outside of my housework. And
is that a lockdown thing? Or was that true before?
Or if I'm exercising.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's it.
Okay. Yeah, but brought on by lockdown, or was that your habit before?
No, I would shower before I'm, going out normally. Like if I'm going to meet someone.
I just know that there's a lax showering policy in this house.
Yeah, no, true. But
that outdates lockdown.
When I turned up for dinner yesterday, I was actually a little bit embarrassed that I took off my hoodie and then I'd forgotten that I still have like my thermal t-shirt on underneath with like a really battered CNN t-shirt on over the top of that. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's not great.
What must people think?
Yeah. Binging Netflix, that's another lockdown.
Oh my goodness me. Yes. I was watching, I really like Louis Theroux, as do, a large number of the population.
Did you watch that new one about the, I haven't watched it yet.
No, that's what I watched this week. Yeah. I watched his new one about, I think it's called Shooting Joe Exotic, and like going back and interviewing some people in his life and Carol Baskin and a few other people to sort of see what the effect of the Netflix series has been. But yeah, can you believe the original Tiger King is like a year ago? And that was a whole other phase of lockdown.
And people were going, oh yeah, that was like the best thing ever. I think that's probably what did it, because I wasn't really a binger. I wasn't really a box set person before then. And then, yeah, I think that changed it.
Really?
I don't think I even had Netflix before. Emma might have done, but I don't think I particularly spent any time watching it.
Interesting. So it's turned you.
Yeah, it has a little bit. And yeah, I never, ever thought that I would hear myself say these words, but I'm an Amazon Prime subscriber as well now.
What's the longest you've spent watching TV back to back, binging? Can you do it? Can you do a whole day?
Yeah, I can do a whole day there. I went through about a week. I think I completed Designated Survivor in about a week.
Wow.
Because there's roughly like 20 episodes a season.
Hmm.
So yeah, I think I was probably getting through like a series a day.
Wow.
Yeah. Like to the point when I couldn't watch it on my computer, I was watching it on my mobile phone in bed when Emma was sleeping next to me. And sometimes I'd get so drawn into it that I would look at my clock and it's like, it's 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That's obsessive.
The stuff that has been made in the Netflix and Amazon Prime era is designed to be that addictive, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And they do this for like, especially with the American ones, which tend to be longer series, seasons. they'll have like longer, they'll have more episodes.
Mm.
And then so there's a number of filler episodes that they put in, but they do like just enough to keep you involved and leave you wanting to know what the next thing is. And then you think back at it and you think, she wasn't really that good, was it? I wasted like a week of my life doing that.
Yeah, I get saved from that by the fact that I really like going to bed early. That is a lockdown. I was always quite into early bed, but lockdown's really exacerbated that, because I'm not doing anything in the evenings particularly, especially not on a weeknight. So now it does get to 8 o'clock and I'm like, ooh, is it bedtime? No, wait, make myself stay up for another like half hour, 45 minutes. If it's 8:45, I'm allowed to get myself ready for bed.
Yeah, well, you see, I think that's another lockdown habit thing, which is really bad, is we'll cook dinner, we'll eat it, and then maybe like wait half an hour, and then you're in bed by 8:30 some days or 9, but then we'll watch TV on the laptop in bed, which is another bad habit, isn't it?
Mm.
So we're getting through these bad habits here, Becca. Any other lockdown fun things that you've heard from anybody else?
Do you know, the other thing that I've noticed, and I don't think this is just me, but I think for a long time, I had this myth of like persistent habits, right? So I would have assumed that I could get up every day and go for a run, no matter what time of year, no matter how I was feeling, etc. But anyway, throughout lockdown, without those kinds of real pressures in terms of like having to commute and things like that, I've realized that I'm really much more seasonal than I thought I was. So in the winter, finding it really hard to get up before it was light, and like going through seasons of, I'm really enjoying running, that lasts like a couple of months. And then it's like, actually, I'm going to do some more like big long walks. And maybe that lasts another couple of months. And like, yeah, going in and out of things, sort of partly in response to seasons and the seasons, and partly just in terms of phases.
I would completely agree with that. Lockdown has been a story of fads, I think, for me. And yeah, I'll get obsessive about something for a month, and then that kind of just slips off. And I think it's kind of hard to get into like a consistent routine. And there are studies, and we haven't really done any like prior research before today. It doesn't really matter, does it? But there are studies that support like having a good routine is quite healthy for us.
I think the other thing that could have been a really healthy habit to cultivate, but again, has waxed and waned a little bit for me, is things that signify the weekend, because your days look so similar. A good example that I had for a little bit was not drinking during the week, and then like the Friday night beer or the Friday night glass of wine was, now it's the weekend. That has been present maybe for 2 months out of the 14 that we've been in lockdown, and then it's sort of gone up and down.
So for me, my drinking has plummeted. I just haven't really had that need to go out and drink, whereas I think Emma's drinking is probably not alarmingly slow, but has gone up, because it's a bit mindless. You finish work and then you kind of need something to break up the work. Now I'm living.
Yes.
Which you would normally do with a commute.
Yes. Yeah.
Which you would be exercising for or going to the gym. The gym's been shut. So it tends to be, oh, just open a bottle of wine, because that signifies the end of the day.
Even. Yeah. 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 And that's been true of a lot of people.
I need
right?
to point out, she doesn't drink a bottle of wine every night. It's usually a glass or two, which is fine.
You are someone who's quite particular about certain things though, right? Like you're very particular about how the house is organized. You're particular
about
the coffee.
Yeah, that's not a lockdown thing.
No, for sure.
Can I tell you why that is?
Please do.
I feel now, hold on a minute, because I know that you're going to bring up the Enneagram here. Right?
No, I mean, maybe, but I'll try not to.
Somebody asked me what my type was the other day, and I said it was wrong. You think I'm type 5.
Yeah.
Well, what is type 5? First of all, and then I'll tell you why I have the compulsions that I do.
Type 5 is...
30 seconds.
Oh, God. They like information. They find safety in information. Traditionally quite introverted, much more head-orientated than feelings-orientated. They are in the fear triad, and so information helps calm their fears.
Yeah, and so I think you've nailed it there. Probably leave the countdown theme tune out for that one. Because I think
stressful.
You did it in like 15 seconds,
yes!
That one.
Nailed it.
But yeah, I am someone who finds safety in information. And I've gone all closed now. My body language is sort of all closed up. I'm trying to protect myself. Like, where are the fear? Where's my information? Where are my facts? I don't have them. I'm very particular about figures and numbers. You know, if I've got a certain coffee recipe and it's 30 grams to 500 grams of water, then I'm measuring out 30 grams of beans to the point one. Yeah, I'm putting in 500 grams of water because that's what it is, right? And it's really weird because you'd think that I'm quite compliant with rules. And generally speaking, I am. But I'm only compliant if I know the reason for why I'm putting in 500 grams to 30 grams of coffee, if that makes sense. If there's no, in my head, explicable reason, then I'm sorry. I tend not to follow the rules then. So I'm like, I am part anarchist and part compliance officer. Like if I could be a compliance officer in the anarchy party, that would be brilliant. That would be my ideal job. I think we just found it.
Let's set it up. Yeah. Let's make it happen.
And I think it's probably because my mum was talking to me about this last week. For anyone who doesn't know, this is the first episode you listen to, you'll know that she's a psychotherapist. And she was talking to me about I'm going to look it up later and insert it in later. Yes, Future Foz here, interrupting the podcast. The thing I was looking for, transactional analysis and ego states. Right, now, back to the podcast. CP and NP. CP is like critical parent, controlling parent. They could be either. And then you've got NP, which is the nurturing parent.
Right.
And from the nurturing parent, you get a free-spirited child who's like, yeah, man, like, don't need rules. Like, everything's really, really cool. And so, and then they will then rebel against everything because it's just like, it doesn't make any sense to me. And then you've got the adaptive child who like has to adapt to everything. And there's a script for every given situation. Mm-hmm. And that adaptive child feels safe when there is a script for any given situation. So that's me, like Mr. Chameleon. And I've got scripts for every situation. I feel very uncomfortable when there isn't a script that I can follow.
Is that a result of the critical controlling parent?
That's a result of the critical controlling parent, yeah. And what that child does is rejects the nurturing parent. So anybody who comes into their life who's very nurturing, very supportive, that child will just think, doesn't deserve it. I need to get rid of that. And I've got a bit of both. So the idea with what my mum was explaining is like, you need to get those both into a center where that adult basically
right
in the center, which is controlling both children, if that makes sense.
Okay. So the ideal is sort of somewhere in between the two of adaptive and free-spirited.
Which I think, I'm kind of getting to. So I'm trying to ditch some of the scripts that I've had in the past, which is quite difficult because I am someone who is very rules base, mm-hmm. And then try and give more light to my free spirited side, mm-hmm. which is kind of like, hey, you can do what you want within reason. When it's stuff to do with the kitchen, which, as you know, stacking the dishwasher, like that is that's my realm, that's my domain, mm-hmm. and I will spend, you witnessed it the other day, mm-hmm. I will spend ages trying to work out the way where I can fit it. It's about efficient loading. Mm-hmm. If it's not done efficiently, then I'll lose my top.
Well, so that was the thing, sort of relating to the question about when a habit becomes unhealthy, is that when you were doing that dishwasher stacking, some of it is like, oh, problem solving, interesting, like challenge, great, fun.
Yeah.
But I think there's an intensity, tell me if I'm wrong, what I think I observed was an intensity to it, that there is a right way and a wrong way. And unless I find the right way, I've failed.
Yes. Yeah. It's a bit like there are many different ways to stack a dishwasher.
Yep.
But the outcome needs to be the same. And right. That is efficient loading. I'm interested in one thing and one thing only, and that is burnt coppers. No, it's efficient loading of the dishwasher.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of line of duty. So this is off the top of my head. I don't use nail clippers. I use my teeth, and sometimes the nail I may bite and eat. I also pick my scabs, and sometimes I scratch. It's like a nervous tick thing. So I do get like a lot of scabs, and I like picking them, and I eat those too.
Ooh,
it's really, really good. Once you get like a juicy one, like the taste of like congealed blood is really good. I like that. I like to eat dead skin. That's quite tasty.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. I think it's quite good for you, though. I think I've been told.
Is it?
I don't know.
I mean, it's dead. How can it be? Anyway.
I've got a lot of autoimmune issues. I used to lick everything as a child, didn't I? So I think that's probably why.
All right.
Yeah.
Lovely.
And you know how, like, we go into supermarkets today and you've got, like, hand sanitizer and everybody's meant to sanitize their hands. Mm-hmm. It's good. Can you imagine what supermarkets were like when their hand sanitizer didn't exist at the front door?
Germ fests.
And I used to lick the handles of the trolley. You know, you have, aww, like, the kids used to sit in the trolley. I don't know if they still have that. And I used to lick the handle of the trolley. My mum used to go mental at me because she was a health and safety officer.
I was going to say, I've had stern conversations with Georgetta about my tea towel washing temperatures. Yeah. So I can't imagine she she loved that.
Yeah. Maybe that's where I got like my rules from.
Maybe.
So I think that's it for disgusting habits, I think, for me. I don't always clean my teeth every day too.
Oh, really?
Sometimes it can be, 3 days sometimes. That's probably a bit of a lockdown thing, but...
How does Emma feel about that?
I don't know. Haven't asked her. But the dentist is fine with my teeth, so...
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, well done you.
I think it proves that you don't have to clean your teeth every day.
And it's a con made up by Colgate to get you to buy their products.
I think it is, yeah. Mm. Well, last time I went into the dentist, I won't say which dentist I go to, they said, "Oh, your teeth are looking quite good." I said, "Yeah, I don't clean them every day." And she looked surprised, but she said, "Yeah, to be fair, you probably don't need to."
Right.
Electric toothbrush.
Yeah.
Mouthwash, good toothpaste. That's what you need.
Pretty good.
So go on then. What are your disgusting habits?
I am the same as you in terms of like scratching. I like scratch.
Yeah. Do you scratch until you bleed?
No.
I've been told it's actually a form of self-harm.
Yes. I've also been told that. No, I don't quite have that.
I do scratch until...
Do you?
I bleed, yeah. Yeah. Any other weird, odd habits?
I used to have more when I was a teenager, I think. Like... I used to also, oh, this is so gross. I feel a little bit ill even thinking about it. But I also used to not cut my toenails. I used to tear them.
Oh, right. Oh,
and it was, yeah, horrible. I know. I just seen your shoulders go up in like a slight wince. That's, yeah, that is exactly right. It was really horrible. I don't do that anymore. And also when I was a teenager, I went through a phase of not really, like really hating showering, which also when you're a teenager is exactly the wrong time to be going through that because you're already a little bit, you know, your hormones
especially
are off
with your sweating problem.
Exactly.
It wouldn't have been any good, would it?
Yeah. I definitely bite the inside of my cheeks and I bite my lip a lot.
Really?
What's interesting is that I've noticed that more during lockdown because I do it either when I'm concentrating or when I'm feeling slightly anxious, both of which happens at work a lot. And so because I'm on a Teams call, I can see myself. So I can see myself biting my lip or biting the inside of my cheek when I hadn't necessarily realized I was doing it before.
Oh, now I know. That's a tell now. I'm going to look out for that.
Mm.
You bite like now, yeah.
Well, that was actually a bit more for symmetry because I had done it earlier on the other side, so I needed to even it out. Crazy. Oh, I remembered another one. Sorry. I really
where
like...
Have they been?
they sort of come trickling out. Again, lack of self-awareness. I often will eat, like if I'm making myself pasta, I'll often have a raw piece of pasta to eat whilst I'm cooking it. Or my particular...
Raw?
Yeah. My particular favourite is if I'm making myself... Sometimes I make myself fish fingers and frozen oven chips because it's my like sad tea. If I'm feeling a bit low, I'll just make myself that.
What will you make? Frozen pizza and oven chips.
Fish fingers.
Fish fingers and oven chips.
And I'll eat... I'll have a couple of frozen chips to eat whilst I'm putting it all in the oven.
Frozen chips.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You can't eat that.
Well, you can. You can. I mean.
What does it taste like?
Just cold carb.
How do you do it?
You have to pick the thin ones, right? Or the little ones so that they're easy to bite.
I don't get that. The doorbell's just rung.
Is that your wife?
Yeah, I think it is my wife.
Yeah, so you have to pick a thin one that you can bite through.
Okay,
because you don't want like a lump of ice in the middle to be chomping away on. But
no, I wouldn't like that either.
You okay?
That's Emma in the background. That's one of Emma's other annoying habits. It's making noise when we're trying to record podcasts. One thing I did want to talk about is habits that you find annoying in other people. So like, have you been in situations with housemates, work colleagues?
Oh, yeah.
Where they have some habits where you're like, can you sort your life out?
Because
there's that book, isn't there, called, I don't know why I picked up my phone, I remembered it. it's called I Lick My Cheese. Do you remember this?
No.
And other weird notes from the front line of house sharing, I think it is the full title.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's an article here. The 12 most annoying housemate habits. So it says leaving dirty dishes out. I'm not bothered.
As long as it's not for like weeks at a time. Like if it's for the next day, fine.
Not helping with the cleaning. I'm not bothered about that because I'd prefer to do all the cleaning.
Mm. No, that's it.
Being excessively loud. Have you ever had like a noisy sex housemate?
Oh, my neighbor's downstairs. So the guy who lives downstairs, he's a lovely man. He's it's actually very similar to your situation. Like, my guy is a single guy, but has a girlfriend that lives sort of nearby and comes and spends the weekends with him. And they're probably a similar age to your downstairs neighbors. What, like 50s, maybe? Maybe into 60s.
Yeah, he's in his early 60s. I was surprised about that.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, so my downstairs neighbor's kind of the same. But they have sex every Saturday night.
Oh, wow.
And it's always...
saucy.
It's always quite late. As we've discussed, I like an early bed. And so it's always like between midnight and 1 a.m. So it always wakes me up. And wow. Part of the reason it wakes me up is
listen.
The sounds are so strange. Like, the sounds are like... It's as if they're punching each other in the stomach over and over, because the sounds are things like oof, or like oof, like that. Like, it's as if it is
from both parties.
From both parties, like, and it, like, in my head, they're just lobbing cricket balls at each other. I'm fairly sure they're not. I'm fairly sure it is sex, because most normal adults between midnight and 1 a.m. would be having sex rather than lobbing cricket balls at each other. But yeah, it's just very odd, and because it's so staccato and punctuated, that's what wakes me up.
All right, so if it was more of like a you know,
rolling kind of noise,
constant,
yes,
like,
exactly. Mm, but yeah, because it's like good. A yell, a mini yell every now and then, it, yeah, it does keep me awake.
You sure they're having sex?
Pretty sure 80%. It's either that or the cricket balls. And
you know what you should do is record them a session and then go down and, like, basically give them a USB with and get them
no,
to play it on their
phone. No, I couldn't
phone.
Do that. They're too nice. They're very sweet, apart from that 1 hour every week.
My downstairs neighbour, I don't think he listens to this, but he does snore quite loudly, which is why the sex thing won't happen between him and his girlfriend, because she doesn't stay here for that reason,
really?
I think. And if you're in our second bedroom / study, that's where his bedroom is, and you can hear it come up through the floorboards.
Wow.
And it's very loud.
Wow.
Snoring though, I just can't really call that a habit, can we?
No, it's not anyone's fault.
Yeah. Leaving the lights and other appliances on, that really does me. I like things to be switched off. I hate things being left on charge when they've charged.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't charge anything overnight unless it takes overnight to charge. Most phones these days take around 2 hours. So that's it. Leave it on for 2 hours and go. Leaving food to rot. I mean, I don't know who does that.
I am not very good at using up the food that's in my fridge. Like, I will semi-regularly. And this is a thing that annoys me about myself before it even annoys whoever I'm living with. I will have to throw something out.
Yeah,
probably once every couple of weeks, because I've forgotten to use it or forgotten to freeze it or whatever.
Is your Tupperware game on point?
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to, because if your Tupperware game is strong, then that tends to happen less. Okay, not changing the toilet roll. That is something that's happened to me, and I just don't understand why you wouldn't do that.
Yeah, that is almost rude. The thing that winds me up is if you've got one of those holders that's attached to the wall, there's a correct way and an incorrect way for the toilet roll to be positioned.
Ah, now this is getting a little bit
obsessive. So
this is
quite a fun game that I play with my big sister, because she and I have opposite ideas of what the correct way and the incorrect way is.
Can I just
please
say
tell me. Yep.
What I think it should be?
Mm-hmm.
So I think you should pull down from the front, not from the back.
Correct.
Because when you do the hotel corners,
mm-hmm.
you don't do that on the back. You do that at the front and then present the neatly folded corner.
Yeah. So I feel the same. So I like it so that, so it hangs over like that. But she likes it so it hangs underneath. So whenever I go and visit her, she lives with my parents, and whenever we're all at home, I always switch it when I go to the loo, and she always switches it back. And for years...
Oh, you're doing it just to piss each other off.
Yeah, no, she did. Well, no, see, so she's doing it. I started doing it because I was like, this is incorrect. Clearly, I should correct it. And then I realized that, no, she actively likes it the other way around. So now, for a long time, I was doing it and she didn't know which one of us was, because I would only ever do it when there was multiple siblings at home. She didn't know who it was that was correcting it. And then I told her. But it was a really fun game for a while, just to wind her up.
See, that's something that I think I can't remember what it would be over, but I know that I've had those kinds of battles with housemates. Obviously, it can't be that important that, you know, I'm not that bothered about it, clearly. But taking long showers. I live with one guy. It used to take like 20 minutes. What are you doing?
20 minutes?
No joke. Sometimes longer. I'm thinking maybe it's just like a weekend thing, but sometimes like before work.
Wow.
You think, what are you doing in there?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think we can imagine what he was doing in there.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You know.
That's gross.
Hair in the plug holes.
Oh, that again annoys me about myself because I've got long hair.
Oh, you annoy yourself.
Yeah. Well, because it just gets everywhere. And it's also sort of just that I'm more annoyed with the situation. Like, I'm annoyed that hair does that. But yeah, my hair is everywhere in my flat and it drives me up the wall. And it feels like it doesn't matter how often I clean or hoover or dust. There's always some of my hair somewhere. And not, I mean, in the plug holes, yes, but then like just some on the floor or like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, because the problem that I have with my hair, really, really tight curls, and it does appear in the shower, like pubic hair. So I've had problems when I've showered at girlfriends' houses. What is my problem with that?
Really struggling with your plurals today.
Yeah, I really am. Yeah. Yeah, and then that was quite, I had a couple of embarrassing situations when I didn't get rid of my, from my head, not from my pubes, but yeah, it was quite embarrassing.
Aww.
And of course, then there's the other one that came up on the bottom, is just like moving your partner in. Have you ever done that?
Moved a partner into a house I was sharing.
Yeah, or somebody else has done it to you.
Not fully. Somebody I lived with all but moved his girlfriend in, and they were so annoying because they would do things like they'd come into the kitchen while you were cooking, and then they'd sit in the corner and whisper like teenagers so that you couldn't have a conversation all together, which is a bit ridiculous.
That's really weird.
It was very childish, that whole, yeah, very odd. But then when I was living with my sister, my boyfriend at the time moved in just for about, I think it was only about 6 weeks in the end because he was in between places. Yeah. And he annoyed her because he did not wash up properly. And she's also very particular about washing up. So she took me aside one day and she was like, look, I love Luke. I'm very happy he's here. He's never allowed to wash up in this flat ever again. And if he does, I will throw things at him.
Maybe he was doing it deliberately.
No, well, I said this to him, like, you know, do you know that you've left like this plate is not actually clean, like there's still bits of food on it, or like you didn't rinse these glasses, do you know that? And he was like, no, I just, you know, just sort of, I just did the washing up. And I was like, no, but you have to clean it until it's clean. You can't just sort of clean it a bit and then assume that it's fine.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, well, all right. I mean, I didn't spot it. It's like, okay, right. You're just banned from sink duty.
Leaving the toilet seat up, that really does my nut.
That annoys me, but I haven't lived with a boy for a long time, so I haven't had to deal with
that. I like the toilet. Like, I like the entire thing closed
off. Oh, me too. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, that does annoy me when people use my loo and then don't put the whole lid down.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely annoys me.
Which is weird considering that, you know, we were talking about pooing with the door open last week. So
gross. One of the things that really like gets to me on quite a deep level, and I'm not really sure why, is when people jiggle their leg and I can feel it. Like it.
I do that.
Do you?
Yeah, usually when I've got high sugars.
Okay. Yeah, it really unsettles me when I can feel it.
What unsettles you?
I think I'm picking up the vibrations, and it's like it's jiggling me and making me feel nervous, because sometimes it is a nervous habit for other people. So
because I have this weird habit where I like to beatbox. You know,
I've never once heard you beatbox.
Do you know what? Because I don't do it in public, because
right.
I feel like it's something I'm a bit embarrassed by.
Can you do some now?
Yeah, I'm quite embarrassed by it. You're not going to find me like one of those nutcases. They're not nutcases. I'm sure they're great people. Down on Oxford Street, you know, with the doing like the beatboxing stuff down there. I'm not one of those people. So I tend to do it just in front of Emma or just by myself. But one thing that annoys Emma slightly is because sometimes it's quite repetitive, and it's just like I have the beat in my head, right? Which works in my head. Can't hear all of the external production. It's usually
the
drum beat and a little bit of like a chord underneath. So it's a little bit annoying because you can't hear like the more intricate things that like a good music producer would put in over that beat, you know?
Which you've done in your mind.
Which I've done in my head. Yeah. I'm thinking like, I'm DJing this at Glastonbury next year. but Emma, she gets a lot of it, like the heart goes, because it's like, and then it's, it gets her agitated a bit, like the jiggling does for you.
Yeah.
It used to really annoy me at work when people would make me a cup of tea and they'd half fill it. Like, what is that all about? That's really, and they put all the milk in there.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. You don't have any of those stories?
Well, I haven't been in an office for more than a year, so it's quite hard to remember.
I think that's why I quit. Because of the cups of tea. Yeah.
There's a simpler solution.
Make my own.
Yeah, or ask people to make it differently.
I really like to know what I do that annoys other people that I'm not aware of myself.
Mm.
Yeah. If you can think of anybody and you know me, then let's
write
know.
In. We're right. And to be clear, I don't want to know what my annoying habits are. My ego is far too fragile.
In the event of living with somebody else, then how do you think you will go? Because you spent so much time by yourself. I think people do struggle with this, don't they?
Yeah, I'm sure I will.
Because there would have been stuff that you would have done, which will annoy other people, number one.
Yeah, leave my pajamas on the bathroom floor. Key.
Yeah, do you still do that?
I more often remember to pick them up.
Yeah, it's really scandalous. and there's going to be stuff like that they do, which you're just like, that just doesn't work in my situation.
Yeah. I think when people wash stuff up not well, that does annoy me. But again, I've not had many people doing my washing up
recently. Not rinsing.
What kind of monster doesn't rinse? That is maddening.
It's the people who wash up, and now not in like a separate sink with a bit on the side. Like they just fill up the sink, full stop, not in like a washing up bottle. Mm-hmm. And then they wash like everything in there. And then just take it out of the dirty water that they've just washed it and
grim.
Put it to the side.
Grim.
And you're like,
how is that clean?
It's not even so you put it in a separate.
No, exactly. No, that is ridiculous. Yeah, you're right. That is ridiculous.
I don't think there's a lot really that annoys me, to be honest.
No.
I think I've kind of gotten over it a little bit. And like driving habits used to like really piss me off as a cyclist and stuff. I think my ex actually brought it up. She said, I mean, she only brought it up because I told her the story of, me taking someone's wing mirror off with my bicycle lock because, you know, they got a bit too close for comfort. So I thought if they're not going to use their wing mirror, then they obviously don't need it and I'll take it off of my lock. It was fair enough.
What, whilst you were riding?
Yeah. Fuckers. I was so angry. And I told my ex-girlfriend this and she said, look, who am I living with? Number one. And two, like, man, you need to chill out. Like, you're still here, you're still alive. Mm. You don't know what kind of day they've had. Like, maybe they just got fired from work. Maybe they just found out they got cancer. Maybe they just found out their mum died.
Yeah.
Like,
you don't know
what kind of day they had. Maybe they didn't see you. Just let them get on with it. And I'm saying, yeah, but just because you found like you lost your job or whatever doesn't give you the right to go around driving recklessly. Does it?
I don't know. Road rage is a hard one to deal with. I have randomly thought of another one from an ex who would in the morning drink water like he hadn't had any water for like days, and he would like glug it down and make all this noise and be like, and then afterwards
like
a pussy
cat.
Yeah, and then worse than that, and then afterwards would go.
That's brilliant.
It was so infuriating. It's like, what? Just drink water normally. Just drink it normally.
Yeah,
stop being weird.
Emma has a bit of an annoying eating habit. You know, like the ASMR videos. Like,
does she?
That's what it sounds like in my head, though, all the time. And she breathes really heavily with it as well. I find it
very off-putting.
Yeah. It's really annoying. And then she's really, she's up in my grill a lot. Like, I'm someone who enjoys some personal space.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the biggest hugger in the world.
Oh, that kind of, she does climb on you.
Yeah. I don't like being used as a climbing frame. And I'm really against public displays of affection.
Oh, you married the wrong person.
Yeah. No, I think I married the right person because it's teaching me to chill and not get so stressed about things.
That's very gracious.
Yeah.
Gracious approach.
Yeah, that's what I have to do with Emma. She has taught me the virtue of patience.
That's such a backhanded compliment.
Going forward, what habits would you want to adopt going forward for the next 12 weeks while we're on a break?
Oh, good question. I mean, there's always the classics, isn't there? Like going to the gyms when they reopen. It'd be good to get into a better exercise habit because my exercise is kind of sporadic at the moment. I am getting better with the food and waste food, but that's a habit that I want to work on a bit more. Better breakfast habits. I've gotten to a really bad run of just eating really sugary cereals for breakfast, which is not particularly healthy.
So those are your good habits going forward. Sorting out your cereal game.
No.
Sorting out your exercise game.
Sorting out is too much of a big commitment. So I'm going to get back into healthier breakfasts and I'm going to try and maintain a slightly more consistent exercise regime if and when the gym's open. Let's say that. What about you?
So I think what I would like to start creating is like good reasons to do something. So if I'm going to go for a cycle ride, it's not just for like training or exercise, but to go and see a stately home or a National Trust place that I've never been to before and cycle there as kind of like a, you know, I'm going to see something rather than I'm just going to exercise, if that makes sense. So having a reason to exercise, I think I'd like to increase that good habit. I'd really, really like to increase a good nighttime habits rather than screen time right up until bed.
Yeah.
The dreams that I get from that is like insane. But really, I think just reading before bed would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Meditating in the morning,
mm-hmm.
outside, cold or not. Those are good habits, I think, for me.
Nice.
Yeah, they'd be really, really good. And yeah, I think just getting into a habit of being motivated around life more, I think would be a good habit to aim for.
Is that a habit?
No, it's a habit because there's lots of things to be motivated for. For example, like the cycling, like I'm motivated because someone else told me to do it. I don't want that to be the only reason. I want to create my own reason to be motivated and enjoy life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rather than saying it because or enjoying it because someone's told me I've got to enjoy it, like actually creating reasons to enjoy it myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So like with the podcast, for example, constantly remembering the reason to enjoy it and be motivated by it, not because it's like, oh, I have to meet a deadline or I have to get it out by this certain time or it's a chore, but actually like, oh no, this is something to be enjoyed, you know?
Because
I never want it to be like that.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's when things become a little bit like, oh, I've got to go and do it, you know? That's when things become a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
And I start to lose motivation. So I'm going to aim for those good things.
Nice. You sound good.
But I'm not going to aim to get rid of my weird habits. They are staying. I'm not going to aim to get rid of the disgusting habits. They are staying. And I will take it as part of celebrating myself and my oddities, my foibles, as we call them. Because they're great.
Yeah, that's
life
nice.
Life variety, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Life in all its colours, in all the shadows.
Lots of people have come up with stuff for me to share on the podcast, which I haven't done, so I feel quite bad about that. We'll have to do that next series, but until then, I think I'm going to feel a bit sad, I think, that we're not recording one next week.
Aww.
And we'll just have to look forward to the future. We're not going to be going far. I guess we'll be back.
So July time.
Start July time. Yeah.
I mean, earlier if we get lonely and miss it.
Yeah, the summertime, it'll all be different, won't it? Well, back to normal, they say.
Yeah.
So by that time, people have their commutes back and we'll have even more listeners, I'm sure. And we'll have to record like 5 in a day because we'll be too busy.
Sounds great.
Yeah. What did you do last week? We'll have to just make up stuff.
Yeah, exactly. What did you do in the 30 seconds since we pressed stop on the previous episode? Yeah.
Okay, then. Well, it's been a pleasure,
Becca.
It has been. Thank you very much joining me on the sofa here. In my place and having some, getting some stuff from under the rug. It's been good.
Yeah, it has been. Thank you.
Good. All right then. Well, we'll see you in 12 weeks' time.
See you then.
Have a great spring and start of the summer. And we'll see you on the other side.
Ta-ra.
Yep, so like we said, we'll be back at the start of July. Don't forget, you can email us with any feedback or if you want to get in touch at undertherug@wearepositivelycreative.com. That's underthe rug@wearepositivelycreative.com. Or you can go to our anchor site and leave us a voice message. There's a link below. We'll see you in the summer. Bye-bye.